Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
We had to pretend to be buyers of these parts. And so some would say, well, you're lying.
I think that undercover work is actually fundamentally different from lying, because the purpose of undercover work is actually to serve the truth.
Coming out does not require as much courage as is required by a person who says, you know, I feel same-sex attraction, but what I want to do is not act on it. What I want to do is live up to my church's teaching.
All I know is that I'm died for by Jesus. I'm baptized and I'm forgiven, and God, I am the possessor of God's promises and His kingdom and His Spirit and His life, and that is who I am. So I don't have to love myself. Jesus loves me.
Wisconsin snowplow drivers, love issues, etc.
If you've had children or grandchildren go through junior high, high school, even college, you've noticed maybe that they are required at some point to take a foreign language, at least to make an attempt at taking a foreign language. It's considered to be part of a well-rounded education, even in our atmosphere of progressive education. But usually it is a language that is supposed to have some practical value to it, something that people in our country speak, or like Spanish, or maybe has some historical significance like French or German. The dead languages like Latin and Greek, well, they're dead. No one speaks them, so why learn them? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, January the 29th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's National Lutheran Schools Week. We're going to conclude our five-part daily series on Lutheran education, talking the first half hour about Lutheran education and those languages. Pastor Heath Curtis, Jocelyn Benson will join us for that conversation a little bit later. Part three of our five-part series on demon possession and spiritual warfare in America today. Spirituality in America Continued. Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month, The Fray, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. And then, let's see, Chris Roseborough will join us. He's back after a little bit of a hiatus. We're going to do This Week in Pop American Christianity, Church in a Strip Club. But first, we're going to talk about a rather startling admission from Hillsong pastor Brian Houston about giving people what they want to hear. Then, since it is Friday and the last broadcast day of this week, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That means we got four sound bites ready to go for you. We'll play them, and then it's your turn. You, after having listened, give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet, @issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you can put your vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week right there. When we play, we will get to your vote, and the listener with the best vote will get the LPR bundle package. That's the last half hour of Issues Etc. Joining us for the last part of our series on Lutheran education, talking today about Lutheran education and the languages, Pastor Heath Curtis. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He is also a Latin and Greek instructor for Wittenberg Academy. Heath, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
Also, Jocelyn Benson. She's head teacher for Wittenberg Academy. Jocelyn, welcome back to you as well.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
In progressive education, you get a kid into junior high or high school, they're going to start pushing a language requirement. It's usually going to be something very practical, like Spanish because of the increasing Spanish population, or maybe German because German has at least historically been a prominent language in American history. But those are vital living languages. Why does classical Lutheran education teach the dead ones, Pastor Curtis?
That is a good question. And I'll even meet the people who would ask that practicality question right where they're coming from. And that is, especially when you're talking about in an early stage of a child's education, at the elementary level or the junior high level, why would you want to pigeonhole them right away? Especially in American liberal arts education, we have a wonderful notion that everybody should be given the tools they will need to make an intelligent decision about what they want to do with their life. If you teach a kid Spanish in elementary school or junior high, that's going to tend to pigeonhole them for the rest of their life into that language. If I teach you Latin, well, you are good to go with any of the Romance languages now, that is, any of the modern languages that are directly descended from Latin. So once you know Latin, it is very easy to branch into French, Portuguese, Italian, Spanish, and Romance. And if, as well, Latin prepares you for other language study, because German throws a lot of English speakers or French speakers or Spanish speakers off when they come to learn it, because they find out that German still uses the case system. They have different endings on their nouns indicating their grammatical use in the sentence. Well, Latin has that. Greek as well. So by starting out with a classical language, it actually is a very practical thing. It opens up horizons for students to branch out, as opposed to pigeonholing them in one language direction and actually curtailing what they might learn later in life. And then if we look with an even wider lens, you know, Latin is a foundational language for the Western world. One of the things I moonlight with for CPH is I continually translate Lutheran resources from the Reformation era. They're all in Latin. At least half of what Luther wrote was in Latin. And then all the other stuff about, you know, if you're going into medicine or law, you know, that's a great background. But it's a great background for anything, because you are being welcomed into the wider Western theological, philosophical, literary tradition.
Then for you, Jocelyn, this is going to take place sometimes in a home setting. There's a lot of classical Lutheran education taking place among homeschoolers, and that's a very good thing. But someone says, come on, you're asking a mom, a housewife largely, to teach their kids Latin. That's impossible.
Well, the encouraging thing is that families, if they attend the Divine Service on every Lord's Day, they are already using Latin. And so as foreign as Latin might seem, it's actually not that foreign. And I was just thinking, we have a fantastic resource right in the front of our Lutheran service book. And I don't have the page number off the top of my head, but the glossary at the front of Lutheran service book, you go, you know, the second word in is Agnus Dei, and it says Latin for Lamb of God. And so just within that, you know, you can go through, a family can go through very simply just the Divine Service and look at, here's a Latin word, what does this mean? And then sing through that part of the liturgy. And so even at a very young age, it's very easy to introduce Latin to families because we use it all the time. Now, apart from the liturgy, you know, that might be a very easy, non-threatening introduction to Latin. But beyond that, then, there are many support resources for families. You know, they can, at a young age, they can get a hold of the book that Pastor Curtis uses for elementary Latin through Wittenberg Academy. Start looking at that when they want to get serious about things. Wittenberg Academy offers Elementary Latin 1 and Elementary Latin 2, and Pastor Curtis does a fantastic job of teaching the language to our youngest scholars. But I would say when it comes to introducing Latin in the home, that it doesn't have to be threatening. You know, we have things like Lutheran Service Book and all of these simple ways that we see Latin in our everyday lives.
So let's talk a little bit about what the kind of these ancient languages connect us to in a way that most of this stuff will come to us via some kind of translation. But to read the classics of Western literature in their, or at least to dip into them in their original tongues, what's the benefit there, Pastor Curtis?
Well, it's the benefit to learning any language to encounter its literature. First off, you know, there is just nothing like reading foreign literary works in their own language, in the same way that, think of your favorite book in English, whether it's Moby Dick or Huckleberry Finn or a play from Shakespeare, you know, reading that in translation in French or Italian or German, I mean, you know, well, why would you do that? I mean, the whole point of many of these works are the wonderful way that this author is using his native tongue. So that's one reason. And then the other reason is that, again, you know, when we're dealing with Latin, especially with a very special case in that the literature of Latin in the classical and then the medieval periods are these cornerstones of the contemporary Western world and thought. And so you should know these stories. And for most of us, that's going to mean that we need to move through those stories rather quickly in our native language. But then to go even deeper and see, you know, exactly what Virgil is doing in the Aeneid, or if you go to the Greek side, exactly what Homer is doing in the Iliad, is a wonderful way to delve more deeply into our common shared heritage in the modern Western world. And if we think about everything going on in the world today, you know, if we're fighting in some sense in this world today for Christendom, for a space in the public sphere for Christianity, if we're fighting, you know, all over the world for, you know, once again, this battle against dark forces in the area of religion, then, boy, we should really know our Christian heritage. And the Christian heritage really envelops, swallows, baptizes, and makes the Western heritage its own. And so this is our story. And we see that even from the beginning of Luke's gospel, you know, when Caesar Augustus commanded all the world should be taxed, that places Christianity right in the midst of the world that gave us, for example, the Aeneid, because Virgil's writing that for the court of Caesar Augustus. And it illuminates everything about the faith as well, because Christianity doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's a historical faith. And so history for the Christian is more important than it is for anybody in a man-made religion. And Latin is a key cornerstone in Greek to the Western world.
Can I dovetail on that just a moment? Going back to something that Pastor Curtis said right there at the beginning, just in terms of the benefits of reading something in the original language, as much as we love the English language and all of its nuances, there are limitations in our language, and some of the richness that we can pull from the original language of some of these works is lost in translation, to borrow the phrase. And so, you know, as Pastor Curtis said, exposing the children to these stories in translation so that they kind of get a hunger for the richness of the plot and the story and that historical connection. But then, as they are able to turn them to the original language so that then everything just kind of explodes for them and they have that wow moment that gives them even more than any translation, as great as it might be, can give.
Jocelyn Benson is head teacher for Wittenberg Academy, along with Pastor Heath Curtis. She is our guest as we talk about Lutheran education and the languages during this last part of our series on Lutheran education for National Lutheran Schools Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
I'm Pastor Todd Rappe. I serve a congregation here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Our Redeemer Lutheran Church, a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. All of the saints here gather around blood, water, and spirit as theologians of the cross every Sunday morning at 10:30. We only welcome sinners. We certainly would welcome you. If you'd like to contact us through our website, you may do so at faylcms.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest along with Jocelyn Benson. We're talking about Lutheran education and the languages, the conclusion of our five-part daily series on Lutheran education during National Lutheran Schools Week. Pastor Curtis, I'm curious kind of about the history of when this thing stopped being so important, because we were talking before the break about it's integral to a basic education. When did it stop being that part of the curriculum, the languages?
I use a textbook that's even from the early 20th century, an American textbook for my classes, that's a great presentation of Latin meant to be used in elementary school, you know, probably what we'd call middle school today. It's 180 lessons because there are 180 days in the American school year, and this is just what boys were expected to do at school, you know, as late as, you know, the World War One era. Kind of in the 20s and 30s, and Jocelyn's probably more can talk to you more about the overtaking of American education by the progressive model of education and the Dewey system and so forth. But this is where we kind of lose that broad-based notion that at a young age, children should be introduced to the wider world in a very broad way, so that they could then later decide which direction they wanted to take their life professionally. But more than that, to have this core knowledge that would make them good members of their community, good citizens, good pillars of their churches. And you look at how the world since the 20s and 30s has gone through these epic changes in politics and violence and the systems in which the world works. And we all lament about how people have such a short attention span, no knowledge of history. You know, Jay Leno used to do his thing where he'd walk around and ask people supposedly simple questions. And you know, public school graduates have, you know, can't tell you, can't find Germany on a map, or can't find Mexico on a map, can't tell you where, you know, where, when, you know, they can't put the Civil War before or after World War II, et cetera. Well, you know, there's the result of that. And so the loss of the language of the West, the loss of learning Latin, is part and parcel of that progressive takeover of American education.
So would you expand on that, Jocelyn, to tell us, you know, the roots of progressive education has really robbed us of a lot of the things here, but especially of the benefit of this classical use of languages. How would you describe what its goals were and how it went about achieving those?
Right. We, at the turn of the 20th century, and even before, started to experience in America a more utilitarian view of education, that the reason that we educate is to make money. The reason that we educate is to be of use to the system, to be a cog in the system. And so learning things like Latin became less beneficial in the eyes of those making pedagogical decisions. Many times when you look at the history of education, the reduction of Latin being taught in the lower levels, many historians trace that back to when Harvard no longer required Latin as part of their entrance exam, as part of the requirement for graduating from Harvard. So when you know, if that is in fact the truth, as many historians will say, once Harvard stopped that, then it just had this trickle down effect, and we see that, you know, we can see that all throughout history, various and the sundry things. But in terms of language in particular, that's kind of the point where we start seeing a reduction in the learning of Latin in the grammar school level. Now, we see that, we've seen that in our modern times as well. You are becoming more and more hard-pressed to find at the college level a degree for German teaching, for example. I know my alma mater cut their German teaching program because there just weren't students interested in learning German. And so you think about the long-standing effects of this. We can see we've gone long enough since Latin was common, and so we can see the richness of the language deteriorating. And, you know, 90 years from now, are we going to see the impact of having dropped things like German? Every time I go to a conference and have the opportunity to speak with people, I always have one or two folks, generally at the upper, the longer days of their lives, come up to me and say, you know, I learned more about the English language studying Latin than I ever did from studying English. And they just bemoan the fact that their children and grandchildren did not have to learn Latin. So we see past generations seeing the benefit of these things, and we can only sit and wonder, you know, what will be the effect going forward.
Two final questions with only about 30 seconds apiece. Is it also helpful here, learning something like Latin, this root language, simply helps our students think better? About 30 seconds.
Absolutely. I'm also teaching the Latin 2 course this year, distance learning for Concordia University in Austin, and I wish I could make every college freshman take Latin, because nothing teaches you to study and the importance of perseverance and the importance of... So if any parent is out there and they've got a child they want to succeed in college, you do need to give them something like Latin, if not Latin, something else that rewards hard work and study in visible ways. It really gives students a lot of confidence to the act of learning and to the act of thinking.
Jocelyn, before we let you guys go, tell us a little bit about Wittenberg Academy, about 30 seconds or so.
Wittenberg Academy is an online Lutheran school. We have a full curriculum for 7th through 12th grade. Families or schools can utilize just part of that curriculum, a class here or there, or they can take the entire slate of classes and actually graduate from Wittenberg Academy. We are an accredited institution, and it's a fantastic honor to serve God's people in that way.
Folks, you can find out more about Wittenberg Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jocelyn Benson is the head teacher for Wittenberg Academy. Jocelyn, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me.
Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's also a Latin and Greek instructor for Wittenberg Academy. Pastor Curtis, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to go to part three of our five-part series on spirituality and demon possession in America. We'll talk about spirituality in America and why otherwise reasonable people buy into some very strange spiritualities today. We'll be right back with Dr. Robert Bennett.
Are you looking for a quality Christian high school education in the Lutheran tradition? My name is Dr. Jay Krause, principal of Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, inviting you to our open house on Sunday, February 21st, from 1 to 3 in the afternoon here at our Edwardsville campus. You can meet faculty and staff, administration, students and parents, and find out more about our dynamic ministry. For more information, contact us at 618-656-0043 or check out our new website at melhs.org.
There's still time to register for the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. The theme is Standing Firm in a Hostile World. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guests Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. Don't wait. Register today for the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th, faithlutheransa.org. faithlutheransa.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. we'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.